is what I promised the county exec. County Exec Jan Garner. Good afternoon, County Exec. How are you?
I'm doing fine, thanks.
No,
how are you, Tim?
I'm well. No snow yet, right?
I am happy if snow is done for this year.
Amen, sister.
Maybe all the children in the community won't be happy with that, but I'm happy with that.
Executive Gardner, can you continue isolate Frederick County from all these storms that have been bypassing us? We've been pretty lucky.
You know what I say jokingly? All the good weather, I take credit for. All the bad weather, we'll blame on the county council.
Well, I've heard that before. Jan, a lot of things going on now that you're a candidate. And, of course, we would hope, and I'm sure that it was hopeful that you would be running for re-election. I mean, you were the first, and you certainly have an eight-year term that you could try to fulfill, you know. So that was not a surprise to anyone. Nope. But glad that season. And like you said, it's a little early yet to really get down to, you know, actually who your competition will be. But you have to keep on going with the government. The government has to run, as we know. And if that's any way, just push it to the left or the right. There you go. Let's say, you don't know? I can't share that with you. It's something very important.
Okay. Nobody knows what you're talking about. Yeah. You realize that.
That's the best part. That's because the guys, you know, Earl's driving up throwing money. What are they talking about? And then Earl's voice is funny. But anyhow, what?
Okay.
So, anyhow, we go on. Budget time. Budget. What's going on in our budget? You had told me last time we were together that, in fact, you had to wait to see what the state was going to do. Are we closer to preparing our budget or whatever it's called?
Yes, we're closer to preparing the budget. By the charter, I have to present the budget by April 15th. I will do the formal presentation on the 12th. Mm-hmm. Last week, I did present the capital budget, which is largely done. It may still have a few tweaks before it's completely finalized. And our budget officer is going to the county council tomorrow for their meeting, and he'll go through the capital improvement program. And then they're going to hear from several of our departments about where they are. So the council's starting a little earlier. We actually have gone in and given them an update in March before. And last year I presented the capital budget in March as well. So usually the biggest area of interest in the capital budget is schools. And the good news is we do have the school construction program largely on track to where the school system would like it. In fact, we actually moved up school addition a year earlier and a new school elementary school out in the Newmarket area that is not yet named. So we call it the East County Elementary School at this point, mm-hmm. to relieve overcrowding at Deer Crossing. So we were able to move that up a year. So
do we know what year? I mean, if he gives what we're
yes,
talking about,
I do.
When we say capital projects, you're talking mostly schools. Is that right? Or
it seems to be mostly schools.
We have schools. Well, the newspaper really only covered schools, which is unfortunate. But there's schools, roads, parks, a fire station. You know, so there's a variety of things. I even always cover what we're doing to meet our stormwater MS4 permit, mm-hmm. Because we're spending money on it. People
sure.
should know how much money we're spending on some of these mandates. And so. Right now, as people know, we have the new Centerville Elementary School in Urbana under construction, as well as Butterfly Ridge. They'll open to students in the fall. Then we'll go into the construction of a new Urbana Elementary School. So all the students in the current Urbana Elementary School will move into Sugarloaf, and then we'll immediately start demolishing that school, mm-hmm. and doing the site work there, and then constructing a brand new school.
In addition to schools, some new fire stations?
Yes, and libraries. So, you know, this weekend we opened the Walkersville Branch Library,
yeah.
and I think we had about 1,000 people there for the opening
yep.
of that library. And I really wish the newspaper had given us some coverage that day. Because really, there was an enthusiastic response from the people that live in that area of the county. And what's really nice is that there was a lot of public or private sector donation to the library. So the Walkersville Alumni Association mm-hmm. Donated $35,000 and for a quiet study room mm-hmm. named after former state's attorney Tommy Dorsey, who was a Walkersville alumni.
Mm-hmm.
And there were several organizations that raised money for the early childhood literacy area in the children's area. And so they have a little like dairy truck and some interactive things for the preschool children, but all of it incorporates the history of Walkersville. So they have, you know, different things about the different dairy farms that have been in the Walkersville area.
Shirt factory that was there. Sure.
So they have a lot of interesting things in the library. They have a photograph that was taken by Russ Winch, who's a town commissioner in Walkersville, that shows the fireworks over the Walkersville Carnival. So if you spend time going through the whole library, you'll find a lot of things that are truly unique to Walkersville. So the response was amazing. And the communities really contributed to it. So
I know it had been awaited for a while, and it's 15,000 square feet,
right,
and has over 60,000 items, meeting rooms, early literacy space.
Right. So it has computer areas, and it really has a little bit of something for everyone. There's a community room there. They had a STEM program on Saturday for the kids. And so a lot of things will be happening there. The branch library in the small space it was in before actually had as many as 55 programs every month. And so you'll see lots of good things happening there. And it was great to see that overwhelming support from the community.
Is there any truth to the rumor that there is a part of the donation is the statue of Ralph Whitmore in front of it?
No, there's no statue of Ralph Whitmore in front of it, but I will say the town contributed the site.
Mm-hmm, right.
And I think that started back with Orley Borland, actually, before Ralph Whitmore. So Orley Borland was there.
He already has a park named
We did acknowledge Orley. We did acknowledge Ralph Whitmore. Mm-hmm. So, and of course,
we
acknowledged all of the
town council.
People who are there today, the current mayor, which is Chad Weddle, and the town commissioners, but also the past, because this has been in the works for so long. You know, it's multiple people who have to be recognized.
Not the mayor, though. You don't say mayor in Walkersville.
It's Burgess.
Yes,
I'm sorry. Weddle was Burgess.
Amen.
Whitmore. So lots of people to recognize there.
Go ahead.
And then the next library we have in the queue is Myersville, and the town of Myersville has provided the site for that, done the demolition and the site work for that. And they also acquired a trolley car and are refurbishing that, so that trolley car will be part of the library. And so that's an important part of the history of Myersville. So the town is paying for that, and it's a much smaller library.
Good.
But we've had a community meeting out there,
so
and
special.
People are excited about that. And, of course, we have some parks that are opening up or going to construction, actually.
Point of Rocks.
Point of Rocks Community Commons. We broke ground on weeks ago.
That picture was there, yeah.
And we also will be breaking ground in the late summer, early fall for the Othello Regional Park, which is just north of Brunswick, and that'll serve Jefferson and Brunswick and Rosemont, that part of the county, which does not have a regional park. And we have certainly the athletic organizations in that part of the county are really advocating for the fields that are there.
Sure.
But it will also include things that others can enjoy. There'll be places to picnic and playgrounds and trails. But that'll be nice to have in that part of
the
county.
We're going to take a not the county exec, Frank Mitchell, but the county commissioner, Tim May. 301-694-9363. Back to the phones, and let's see what Tom has to say. Tom, you have a question for the county exec.
Yes. I'd like to know, what are the four biggest perks and the four biggest drawbacks to being the county executive of Frederick County, Maryland?
Did you say the four biggest?
The biggest drawbacks?
And the biggest perks.
Well, I think
that's an interesting question.
I think the biggest perk to being the county executive is you get to make a lot of decisions that positively impact the county. So I think that's absolutely the biggest perk, serving the community. You had a lot of good things happening in Frederick County, and you get to be a part of that. So I'm very proud to represent Frederick County. I like the job. It's different every day, and I enjoy interacting with people around the county and making good things happen for the citizens who live here. So I think those are the positives. I think
the drawbacks.
Drawbacks may be I do spend a lot of time. I do generally work a 12-hour day pretty much every day. I work a lot of times on the weekends. So, again, that's what I signed up for. But for people who want to do this job, they need to know to do it well. It does require a lot of time. And certainly, I have a lot of people who send me emails, and some people are very critical of different things in the community. So, you know, you have to be able to have a thick skin and deal with that.
Okay, Tom?
Okay, thanks.
Sure, anytime.
Now, before we leave the capital budget, which is draft right now, right?
Yes, the capital budget is a draft budget.
What's this going to do to our taxes?
When I announced this, the capital improvement program, I did say we're not going to raise tax rates. We certainly live within our means. My administration has never raised property taxes or income tax rates. And so we are doing this within our debt affordability. We certainly are able in part to do more because we got our AAA bond rating reaffirmed from all three bond ratings. So three times during my administration, we achieved the three AAA bond ratings for the first time in the county. And then we've had it reaffirmed twice. So that allows us to get a lower interest rate. It allows us to take the same amount of money and make it go farther. So
plus we have more income coming in, obviously, with the tax increases.
We haven't had a tax increase.
According to the state of Maryland, we do.
We've had an assessment increase.
Exactly.
And we've certainly also had a business growth in our community.
Perfect.
That is new. And adds to our revenue in the county. And certainly, just like Governor Hogan, he has not reduced tax rates.
No, he hasn't.
He has taken those assessments and spent them. And so, but he will certainly be out campaigning saying he has not raised taxes either. So the tax rates have remained the same. We are trying to meet the needs of a growing community and provide a great school system and a safe community. And I think we do a great job of doing that.
Yeah, politicians take this as criticism. It's a fact. The taxes go up. It's not a bad thing. I mean, look what we're getting more money in. That's good. It's not. Thank you. We'll turn it down a little bit.
But again, isn't it the language that's used.
The language.
Tax rates are not going up.
Well, they have to be. That's how they have to be published. There's a tax increase. And that's, don't take it as something negative. You want more things. You want the schools fixed. You want this done. You're going to have to keep the money coming in, folks. It doesn't stay the same because costs go up. We know that. So,
well, and you know, we do like to give employees a raise from time to time.
Exactly right. Exactly.
Health insurance goes up. And quite frankly, we have a lot of mandates that we have to fund. So, whether it's from the Clean Water Act, where we're funding, literally, we're spending about $8 million a year to comply with our stormwater permit. So people do not understand that even though they hear the rain tax went away, mm-hmm. which was a fee to help cover that cost, mm-hmm. what we're mandated to do has not gone away. So when I presented this capital improvement program last week, you know, not everybody's interested in all the stormwater projects we're doing, mm-hmm. but I talk about it because it was an unfunded mandate that came down, and this is how much of your tax dollars are going to it. So I think people should know that.
All right, we have a caller, but this may take more than a minute. Whatever you think, Frank.
Well,
let's hold the caller.
Anything else in the capital budget that should be addressed? Frederick Community College, hoping for some new renovations or buildings?
Well, Frederick Community College, under Libby Burmaster, who's the president, has changed their direction from building new buildings to renovating their current buildings and utilizing their space better. So they did a spatialization study. So everything they're asking for is renovation.
Mm-hmm.
So their first renovation project, which is Building E, which is known as the Conference Center building, they wanted to renovate classrooms and some other space for continuing education in that space. The state did not fund their project. So we are going to give them the state share up front so they can get started and then use, hopefully, the state share the following year to finish that project.
Anything for fire and rescue, Sheriff's Department?
Fire and rescue is not, we're buying radio replacements. And again, people depend on those, both in fire and also in law enforcement and mobile data terminals. And we're updating that. And the radio cost is $3.6 million. So again, that's another thing where people expect us to have the technology and mm-hmm. the communication.
Yeah.
And it does cost money to keep it up to date.
What's the cost of the artificial turf fields at Othello?
We aren't putting any artificial turf fields in Othello. We had it initially intended to, mm-hmm. but we are not doing that because of the cost. The last artificial turf field we did was under the prior administration at Ballinger Creek, and that field cost about $2 million, including lights.
Pretty High School just got a new turf field.
Frederick High School did get a new turf field. New turf fields are going in at all the high schools. I can't separate out what that cost. That may be somewhat different because that site was already graded out. But and I'm not sure if they had to add lights to it or if those were already
there too.
Yeah. So
okay. And back to the phones. And you had a question for the county exec, WT. What say you, brother?
Yes, Tim. Thank you, folks, for taking my call. This is for the county exec. Madam Executive, there's two or three things I'd like to ask you, and then I'll get off the phone and let you answer. I have never supported you in the past. That's no secret. But I do commend you for holding the tax rate. If you hold the tax rate, I would think that you have made a great stride in proving me somewhat in error.
Okay, good. I'm glad to hear that.
Now, the next thing is, you know, I live up off of Old Frederick Road.
Yes.
And this has been talked about by different people, my neighbors and different people have called the county and called. I've never called you. I've thought about this question, but I never took the time to do it. But, you know, I'm spending 20 minutes a day on a detour to get around to get into Frederick to work.
Mm-hmm.
20 minutes a day, 10 minutes each way. Okay. The bridge was taken out the end of July at Utica. The Utica Bridge is a little bridge, a two-lane bridge. It probably doesn't span more than 50 feet at the most. There's been no one, Madam Executive, working on that bridge for 89 days. Now, I find that to be very, very irresponsible. Now, I realize that you're privy, you have privy over that and not maybe direct, but the contract was let to the same contractor that did the Utica Park, the Lewistown Road Bridge, and now the Utica Bridge. First of all, I went to meetings that the county held. Very complimentary. They explained everything, what was being, why the bridge was being dismantled and replaced. I disagreed with that at the time. I still disagree with it, even though the bridge is gone. I've lived up there for 49 years. I've used that road. The bridge has been refurbished one time in 49 years. The excuse that I heard at our meeting with the county people was that it was an aging process. They went through an aging process, and when the bridge becomes so old, they automatically replace it. Well, I find that to be ludicrous, and I am totally surprised that the county did even considered doing it because the bridge had no problems. I traveled it sometimes three times a day, maybe more. Now, there's bridges in the county that need to be replaced, at single lane bridges on heavily traveled roads. Why this road bridge had priority, even though it's going to be nice, I'm sure, when it's done, state-of-the-art bridge. But for 89 days, Madam Secretary, or Madam Executive, I don't understand why nobody's been working on the bridge at the 15 at Monocacy Boulevard. They're working night and day to get that job done. Now, I realize it's a state project and this is a county project. I realize there's a big difference. But I really feel that the people who live in the north part of the county has been grossly inconvenienced by doing this, and especially if it wasn't needed. And that's all subjective.
Well,
the opinion is objective, but then I further check it into it to find out that there was a grant for that bridge. Is that not correct?
Yeah, it's 80% federal funding, and I'll answer your question, but I'm waiting for you to be done.
Yeah, I want to get some other calls. Thank you, WT, but we've gotten a few calls inquiring about that bridge.
Yeah.
Do you have another question in addition to the bridge question?
No, ma'am. If you could answer that for me, and I realize that they said it would be spring till it got done, but I thought they would at least be working in good weather. These have been some 60 to 70 degree days. Nobody shows up, Jan. It's a disgrace.
Okay, let me answer the question. So thank you. I just want to make sure I had all of your questions before I started to answer them. So the old Frederick Road Bridge appears to have nothing happening to it for a reason. The steel beams were removed, and when they were cleaned, it became apparent there was some deterioration on the steel beams. So they actually had to ship them out to actually be rehabilitated. And then while they are waiting for that to happen, there is really a stop in the work. And so those steel beams are obviously the fundamental components of that bridge. Mm-hmm. So that was an unforeseen condition. So those have should be back to the bridge site and put in place somewhere around the end of March. And we plan to have that bridge open around the first week of June. So that's the reason. They did not think they would have to rehabilitate these steel beams, but when they found deterioration after they removed the paint, they felt that this is the right time to do it while you're doing the bridge. And it is a 80% federally funded project, 20% local. That is fairly customary for all of our bridges. We do have a good bridge maintenance and inspection program that we operate. And they do score all of these bridges. And you will see across the country that every jurisdiction gets these scorings that are released every year of the state of their bridges. So it's not something that's randomly decided. So there's a score that goes with it in terms of its rate of deterioration. And for some of these bridges, including this one, they wanted to replace the bridge deck and widen the bridge deck.
The only thing I see, the only thing I think would have been a lot better is if the people of Frederick County knew that.
Yes, and so we'll see what we can do to make sure that we let people know that. Now, I don't know if we sent a press release out sharing that information, but I can find out. And, you know, there are times where we could also post a sign that this is...
Yeah, this is what's going on.
This is what's going on, yeah.
All right, let's go back to the phones and see what Charles has to say. Charles, what have you to say?
Hi, Jan, how are you?
Good, how are you, Charles?
Good. One of the concerns that many voters and residents of Frederick County have right now are, you know, your position on creating Frederick City as a sanctuary city. And we'd like to hear from you and your voice on where you stand on this issue. As we all know, how San Francisco and California is doing with all the problems they have by creating a sanctuary city. So what is your position on that?
Well, first of all, I don't have that responsibility for the city of Frederick. Generally, for the topic of sanctuary cities, it's about how law enforcement cooperates or doesn't cooperate with immigration and customs. And in Frederick County, that falls under the responsibility of the sheriff. And so I'm not sure if you're concerned that the sheriff is not doing what he needs to do, but in Frederick County, we follow federal law. So that's the that's the simple answer on it.
Mm-hmm. So there would be actually, there's nothing that you're even looking forward to.
There's nobody who's talked about sanctuary cities in the county that I'm aware of.
Mm-hmm. Would the county override a city? Could the county override a city?
On a law enforcement standpoint, I don't think so, because, you know, they have their own city police. And so
the sheriff
I think
would be over top of
the city. No, the sheriff isn't over top of the city police. Now,
sure they would be.
The sheriff.
Under common law, they would be.
Well, I don't believe that's true.
Okay.
I think the sheriff supports the city police in doing what this
city's supposed to do. Yeah, I'm not saying there's going to be a coup de grace or anything. I'm just saying that.
But now everybody comes into all the law enforcement agencies in the county, whether it's the sheriff's office, the city police, Thurmont, Brunswick, or the state police, bring whoever they arrest into central booking, which is at the detention center. And central booking and the detention center are operated by the sheriff's office. So I think that is really a good question for you to ask the sheriff.
Sure. County Exec Jan Gardner, tell us about this new mobile medical treatment center
situation. The Mobile Community Health Program.
MC Health. We got to come up with something better than that.
Well, someone had told me there's an acronym called HUGS, but I don't know what that sounds, what that spells out.
This
is a very positive program. We're very excited about it. It has been well over a year in the making, and it's really a data-driven program. So we've collected data about some of our most frequent callers for 911 emergency services, and we've tracked them for over a year, and we have about 105 people who have called for service 1,200 times.
Oh, Lord.
And many of those people then are transported to the emergency department. And so those 105 people making 1,200 calls in a year cost the county taxpayers about $800,000 in terms of the value of that response time. And the hospital emergency department has said that they have provided about $4 million worth of health care to these folks. So what are we going to do?
We are
putting together this a mobile community health program where we'll have a paramedic from our Department of Fire Rescue Services. We'll have a nurse or potentially other staff person from provided by Frederick Memorial Hospital. And we will have someone from the health department from most likely our AIRS program. But we could bring in other resources as needed and basically go out and visit these folks, make sure that they have resources and support they need for whatever is happening in their lives, making sure they get information about taking care of a chronic health condition they might have. And this has happened in other counties and other parts of the country, and it's been very successful. So the outcomes are that the individuals you serve have a better quality of life, and get the resources they need to address their situation,
and not break the other resources
and
down.
We save money.
Yeah.
It saves money because even though the hospital is putting out this $4 million, you know that some of us are seeing that in our health insurance premiums. It's part of that health cost that's out there, and that's not the best place for you to get your regular health care is from the emergency department.
I'm also thinking every time we run these ambulances and we run someone with them, we run the chase car, you know that costs money. And I know you are aware of that. And anytime we can cut down that, because I kind of know that we do a lot of, you know, there's a lot of people that need attention and help. And I don't mean to be that in a negative way, but there's older people like Frank who they just call 911.
Well, they call 911 because they have fallen or they have something else they can't accomplish.
Right.
And or they have not taken their medication. And if they had a regular health practitioner coming
Correct.
In and making sure they were eating and taking their medication.
Sure.
So maybe some of these folks will need Meals on Wheels, or they can benefit from the adult evaluation.
Sure. Home health care. There's so much available.
And so, you know, we'll try to connect them to those resources so they aren't frequent callers anymore, frequent utilizers of emergency services.
Frequent flyers, we call them. Mm-hmm. What about, where did we get this program? Sounds great. Is anybody else trying this program?
This program is in Maryland. There's a program in Montgomery County and Prince George's County. They've been in place for maybe a year, not for a lot of time, but we actually went down and had staff ride with Prince George's County to see how it was working. So we've really done our homework on this, and I think it's a great program.
It sounds like it.
It's a win-win for everybody.
Right, and right now we have just one vehicle or one unit, but I can envision years later that we're going to, you know, this is going to be it's like the kiosk of the medical field now. And, you know, you go to the drugstore and you can have your ears checked and a shot given to you, or you can just pick up your script. So I think it's the way to come because, you know, I've taken care of the health field. I want to tell you my secrets, as I told Dr. Alvin. I'm taking care of the health, the school problems now. Don't build any more schools. Build studios.
Studios?
Studios. Have the teacher being broadcast, and the kids would be on their television or their... This is the future.
Well, I think some of that works. I think that some of that works, particularly for college students and older students.
Yeah.
But I also think we always have to remember that personal interaction and dialogue is a vital part of education and human creation.
Sounds good. I just thought it was brilliant on my part, so I would like a little kudos there. But that's okay. County Exec, I appreciate you coming in. You've answered our questions. I want to ask a question off the air because Frank...
Let me ask
one more question.
Yeah, you're always asking for input on Livable Frederick, which, you know, has a nice title, but actually is the growth plan for Frederick County. Have you gotten any interesting, unexpected replies on your request for input on Livable Frederick?
Oh, sure. We always have interesting input on probably about everything we do. But just so people know, Livable Frederick is our comprehensive plan, but it's also really more than that. It is our master plan, our strategic plan for the future. What we've done is a little bit different approach than we've done in the past. We started out with a vision, and which we spent a whole year on getting public input to create that vision. And then we put together a plan that focuses on how to get there. And it has a lot of action items in it. It also has a thematic map. It does not have a zoning map. It is not parcel zoning driven. And it really talks about, we used computer modeling that we didn't have the last time we did a plan. And we could put various choices in it and see what they outcome of those choices would be projected into the future. So the thematic plan to me and the scenario analysis, the what-if analysis that happened, really, I think, gave us some interesting information. Now, I am having a town hall on Livable Frederick this Wednesday at 7 p.m. People can come to Winchester Hall and attend. We're also taking comments by email and Facebook, and we did that last month when I had a transportation town hall. And so we had some people participate that didn't show up. And so we put their questions up.